This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. We got mean text coming up later in the hour, so you still have time. 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line, if you'd like to send in something creative and hurtful. Help yourself.
Yeah, and be, you know, go ahead and include Ryan Roland Smith if you want.
Now, why do you want to do that? We haven't even introduced him yet, and you're soliciting mean things to be said about Ryan Roland Smith, who's in the booth with us. Good to see you, man.
This is good to see you guys. I mean, I remember a couple of years back, I felt like 10 years ago, I used to come out to Edgar's, come and hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
And then that all of a sudden got shut down, wasn't able to do it. So this is the first time in person. This is a good sign, I feel like.
Yeah, is this the first time we've seen you
in
person?
Yeah.
Well, we had been at Edgar's until this week.
Holy moly.
Yeah. But we've been doing everything at Root Sports is out at the studio in Bellevue, which I do miss, man. We used to be out in center field.
Yeah.
That was a blast. So if we were doing a show at center field, come hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, knock back about 4 or 5 beers, and, I'm just kidding.
And then really see what happens on the broadcast.
Yeah.
How much fun? Dave and I talk every day. We're just like, man, I can't believe there's no game tonight. You know, last night Mariners had the night off, and you're going, what a bummer.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you really felt? I mean, I know it's part of your job, but as a fan, where you're just like, man, I can't wait to see this team play. This year feels really unique.
It does, and I was reminded too because I made a comment on air about. How long has it been since we've been in the month of September where it starts to get a little chilly, it starts to get clouds start to roll over, and the Mariners are just games out of playoff action. And apparently in 2018, up into September, they were still in there. But I didn't feel like this. I didn't feel like...
Not this level of excitement.
No, it didn't feel like there was a chance. And I'm not talking about the fact that you've got the Boston Red Sox in front, and who knows what's going on there with everything with COVID. We're about to see them... There's so much instability then with the team in front of them, with the Boston Red Sox. The New York Yankees are starting to struggle. The Oakland A's are beatable. So all of a sudden, the path seems a lot, I'm not going to say easier. I don't want to jinx it, and it's never easy. But the fact that they're just a couple games out, and the way their schedule matches up here, it's exciting. It really is, especially the fact they're playing the D-backs, who they can handle 3 games straight.
I think we're getting greedy, though, because we were saying, like, in July, hey, if it's just meaningful in August, we'll be happy. And then all of a sudden, we're in September, and, I really want it to go all the way to the end, man. But, it sounds like the way it's laying out that it's pretty good possibility with this team.
I get sick of saying the same thing. Hey, this is the biggest series of the year. We were saying that 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, they're in a situation. I don't know, it was 21, 22 games or something left.
22 left,
yeah. So they're in a great spot, put it that way. And obviously, the D-backs, the fact you get a chance to play them 3, you're 2 games out. By the end of Sunday, this can be completely different. I did get sick of seeing the 4 or 3 games back just every night. All of a sudden, they're in striking distance, that's for sure.
Now, we were sort of guessing, and it is a guess, because you're just looking at 22 games left. You don't know what the teams around you're going to do. You just talked about the team struggling with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and Toronto's now jumped in front. But how many, if you were forced to predict how many wins it was going to take of the remaining 22, how many do you think they need realistically?
Now, I haven't even looked at the amount by the end of the year. It's interesting. Someone did do a little mock wins and losses by the end of the year and shared it with me, and I feel bad because I'm not giving them a shout out on Twitter right now. That's what you're supposed to do, give them a big promo on Twitter. I feel bad for whoever's listening. He's probably like, hey, it's me. But it was nice, man. It was good. He gave this
Ryan, it's over here. It's me.
He's probably spent three hours of his spare time, on a weekend coming up with this mock wins and losses, but I'm like, man, that looks very doable. I think when you're a player in this situation, first of all, you can't go into this thinking we have sweeping teams is extremely difficult to do. It's the 2 or 3. You just have to go in there and say, all right, let's take care of game 1. Let's get that second win in the series, and let's keep rolling, moving on, and the rest will take care of itself. It's so difficult though, man, because you get in this, you get way too big picture, and everything, the margin for error is razor thin for this team because, look, and I'm not knocking the talent level or anything like that, but you have to pitch extremely well if you're this team. The offense is not going to carry you through. So you're in a position now, 22 games back, walk into this and say, we're going to take two or three here. We're going to take two or three here, and we're just going to keep rolling and see where we're at.
We were talking yesterday or 2 days ago about Kikuchi and what, maybe four, probably more appearances by him before the end of the year. Could he do anything that would change your mind or make you think that you could pick up that contract on him? Bob says no.
No.
The thing I worry about, I feel like it's in his head. It's not necessarily, you know, it's not a mechanical thing or anything like that. And I'm not ripping the guy. He was great before the All-Star game, but what are your thoughts on it?
Totally agree with you in his head, and that obviously seeps into what you do physically. You know, it's tough, man, because it's amazing how much the 4 or 5 days in between starts just carries into that 12 seconds in between pitches. Because when you're out there pitching, you think of this and say, okay, I just have to throw this pitch down and away, or if I execute this slide or whatever. But, man, when you're carrying that much, he is carrying a ton mentally right now, looking into the offseason, what's going to happen. He had a big goal. Obviously, could you imagine going into this season thinking, okay, I know what I'm capable of doing. I showed flashes of that last year. I figured out how to get my velocity up and get it consistently up. You know, whatever it may be. You come to this year, all of a sudden you make the All-Star team. Now you're staring down like, hey, this extension, I'm going to lock myself in here for 4 years. And it's a very unique situation he's in, because it's pretty rare to have this team option of an extension that what we're looking at. But now, all of a sudden, he's walked out of the All-Star break, all these expectations on himself, and so is the team and everything else. And now it's like, okay, I just have to sort of continue on what I'm doing. And now he's in this tough spot. So to answer your question, it's going to be really difficult. I mean, I didn't even think if he goes 7-8 shutout every time out.
They're not still picking it up.
I just don't quite see that happening. And the other thing is, too, because the flip side of it, he comes in next year, does his thing, gets another chance to see where he's at the end of 2022. So I think that just makes sense on both sides of it.
Or maybe he goes out and somebody says, hey, I know how to tweak his mechanics. I can turn him into something. He goes to another team. I mean, the beauty for him is he's got, at minimum, a $13 million payday sitting in front of him.
And
that's the very minimum.
That's my point. And not that you want to sit there and ever have that I'm just going to settle mentality whatsoever. I think for him, for the end of the year, is do his thing, take care of business, go into this offseason, and whatever he had a really good offseason, really good spring training, and then he had a great first half. But, man, it must be tough to be sitting in the situation he's in right now, because he was this close to tying himself in for another 4 years.
So what do you see, though? Because I look at him, and the reason I'm so adamant that they're not going to pick it up, you look at the entire body of work since he's been here, what we're seeing now has kind of been the majority of what he's been. The first half of the season was the aberration. We hadn't seen him like that, where the velocity was where it was at, his ability to get himself out of trouble. Typically in previous seasons, he gets in trouble, he stays in trouble. That's who he's been. But I'm wondering if you've seen, and you were talking about you were going to look at this last time we talked about him, is his spin rate. Mm-hmm. Has that changed in the second half? Because the immediate reaction from everybody is, oh, spider tack guy. As soon as they implemented those rules, look at how he pitched.
Okay.
Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. What do you see?
So there is a lot of correlation between what you do velocity-wise, which then affects spin rate, right? Now, I don't want to dive into the nerd factor on pitching. I can't stand it. I like talking pitching as it is, okay? But I will say this. One thing with Yusei Kikuchi that we see. Now, first of all, as far as what's been different the first half and the second half, obviously the inconsistency, but the ability not to make those quick adjustments, to say, okay, I don't feel quite comfortable now. I'm going to stay with this fastball, and I'm going to work through this. For whatever reason, he goes to plan B. He jumps ship on that attack mentality. When he has that attack mentality early in the game, it's fun to watch. But you can see it. The tempo changes that we talk about, the seconds in between pitches goes from 10 to 15, and you start seeing he's breathing heavy. Everything changes. And you can see that early, and he's just inability to make adjustments where he gets frustrated. It's like, I don't have it tonight. Now all of a sudden I'm going to start nibbling because I want to pitch away from contact. So when you're talking about the spin rate and everyone's, he's a spider tack guy, what have you. Look, a big percentage of pitchers have used something for grip, right? And I want to make that distinction. I've done it a couple times. When there is putting something on your fingers for grip and putting something on your fingers to generate spin, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and accuse him of saying, oh, well, he had all this big spin right now, it's changed. When I look at him, and you can see, because I've watched it from pitch to pitch, from this the spin rate, the 200 to 100 RPM difference. When he's all of a sudden 96, 97, spin rate gets back to what we saw in the first half. When we see the 93s, 94s, it dips. A lot of that has to do with that conviction when you throw a pitch and you get that acceleration through release, zap, that spin rate's going to go through the roof. So, look, I'm not... Who knows? We will never know. But I will say this.
I like you're trying to get comfortable before you say whatever it is you're going to say here.
I will say this. When he has that good conviction and that attack, and he's got that recoil with his arm, and you see it, and he bounces off the mound, you watch that spin rate. If you go pitch to pitch, you see it, boom, it bounces up, pitch to pitch. But when you look at it from a hole, from a 4 or 5 game sample, yes, you see a dip. Because we've seen this more often, where he's 92, 93, he just has that backing off, that hesitation mentality. You're not going to get that same acceleration, not going to generate that same
spin. So it goes right back to the mental side of it.
At 100%.
That's fascinating, interesting. Yeah, and you know, we've seen him confident at certain times. But yeah. Logan Gilbert, so in football, you know, it's pretty rare. If your rookie year, you do anything. I was terrible, you know. But I came back my second year, and it just got it. It slowed down for me and everything. What do you think Logan Gilbert's going to be going through next year? Because amazing rookie year for him. And then, you know, he struggled and this and that. But what's the jump for pitchers coming back their second year?
Well, let's talk about the next couple starts this year. In the month of August, Pete Woodworth and him were working on his secondary stuff. And as much as you want, obviously, the priority here is winning. But it's also, when you have a 24-year-old Logan Gilbert, you still have to tweak and make the development side of things happen in the bullpen sessions. He has been pitching. Last start, not so much, because you've started to see glimpses of that slider and that changeup. He has been pitching. They want him to accelerate every pitch, throw it as hard as he possibly can. Curveball, changeup, slider, and obviously the fastball. He didn't do that when he first came up, and it was effective. But that stuff, when you face a team 2-3 times through, they're going to see the difference in the arm slot. They're going to see the difference in the spin. So the goal for him lately was to speed up that slider, speed up that changeup. It takes some time. You're starting to see more and more of these sliders at 85s, 87s, when you watch it on the mile per hour, when you're watching on the radar gun, and that pitch is just taking a straight left-hand turn. He's starting to get that feel for it. That's going to be a big priority for him going into his second year. So I think if you're talking 2022 for Logan, going to spring training, have that feel. You've got, you know, 3 to 4 months of working on that stuff and getting a feel for it in a closed environment. All of a sudden, you do it in spring training. Once he gets that, he's going to be electric, in my opinion. But I will predict this. The next couple starts, when he gets a feel for that slider, man, he's going to be tough to hit. I have a feeling he's going to have a big September.
How do you view, you know, it's interesting. We've spent so many seasons, it seems like, referring back to Ackley and referring back to Zunino and Smoke and saying, oh, they were all brought up too early. They got ruined. You broke them, you know, and we screwed up their development because they were exposed to too much too early. I don't hear that in relation to Kelnick and Raleigh right now. Both who struggle, I mean, neither one of them are hitting 200. Kelnick seems like he's starting to find a little bit. Raleigh looks completely overmatched at the plate. Are we worried about that with them, or do you think that whole thing is a false narrative on those guys? Or where are you at with, hey, too much, too soon, you're going to screw up their development? And if you believe that, why don't we believe it for these guys?
I worry about that a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I think there is that element where you rush them up here. I think there's also that element, too, where you bring, whether it be from, you know, Shed Long to Logan Gilbert to Cal Raleigh to Justin Kelnick, anyone in that Justin Dunn, Justin Sheffield. There's been such an emphasis from this front office because they went after 2018 is all about the rebuild and stripping it down and reset, whatever you want to call it. So there's such an emphasis on that those plays. We talked about them a ton. I've never seen, even in this generation with other teams. Like, you don't see any other organization, even the ones who are quote-unquote rebuilding, talk so highly about their double-A players and put them on such a pedestal. And we've talked about this a lot. And Dave, you know, you and I have talked about it as well. When you get to the big leagues, you have to earn it. Right. And you have to be ready to earn that spot too. So there is that element where, yeah, you do bring them up a little too early, where you feel like, okay, hey, they've had a good month. Let's bring them up. It's time. There's space for them to play. And you lose that, I guess you call it, factor of beating someone else out and really forcing your way back to the major leagues, which you see, man. And I'm talking, I've been with different organizations, like the Boston Red Sox. I was with them in 2013. I saw a lot of the guys in AAA. You had to fight your butt off, number one prospect or whoever, to get a spot to play. Jackie Bradley Jr. had to fight and fight and fight to get his way to play center field for the Boston Red Sox. And you have to really earn that spot. So I think for these guys, that regardless whether they learn here or they learn in AAA, if you can be patient and there's still that element of earning that spot, whether it's Mitch Haniger, Kyle Seager, getting on them and saying, hey, look, we can't see this behavior, or you know, treating them where they're a situation where they're not on that big pedestal, there's not all this emphasis on them carrying the team or any of this kind of stuff, all those little things, I think it's going to help. So who knows? You just don't quite know what that magic, that special sauce is, that magic potion it is to the right amount of at-bats or anything like that. But, man, you just want to make sure that they come up here and they earn their way to the major leagues. That's for sure.
I'm furiously scouring your Twitter trying to find some bogan moments in your personal life. Like whether it's taking the children to the monster truck bowl or...
Is he wearing jean shorts and cowboy boots?
Shorts, yeah.
I went on Amazon to have a look. Hey, we went to the State Fair last weekend thinking there was monster trucks. And yeah. I couldn't wait. I was like, I had the camera ready. There's no monster trucks. I couldn't believe it. Down at Puyallup. I was like, you kidding me? There's no monster.
There's no monster trucks in Puyallup. There's no monster trucks. Nowhere in the state.
I swear, Lennox had his monster truck shirt on. I swear. I thought it was just...
Who did?
Lennox, my son.
Yeah.
He's two years old. I thought,
he's got no chance.
I thought it was a given. I thought it was just monster trucks when you roll in. There was nothing. I was like, oh, man, this is an absolute letdown. But it was a good time. State Fair, down at Puyallup. I've had a blast. I'm not, you know.
Did you have some scones?
I was proud of myself, man. No bad food. No junk food. I couldn't believe it.
That's the whole point of going.
I know.
Exactly.
I know. I was kind of disappointed. I had to hit 7-Eleven, get some cinnamon roll or something.
You went to the fair, neglected exactly. All of the fair food, scones, burgers, all that, and then went to 7-Eleven.
It was too healthy.
Yeah, no, it cost $8 for that funnel cake. I was like, no, just go to 7-Eleven. It costs $1.50. I'm good.
Go get it out of the wrapper from the 7-Eleven.
Right. I love it. No, I won't take one of those scones you only get once a year, or those corn on the cob, or the funnel cakes. I'll go to 7-Eleven and get a little Debbie's package.
All right. What about the Tetris in your garage? Tell me how to pack a garage, because we have a storage unit. I would like to set it on fire.
Yes,
I really would, because there's nothing in there that I could, you know, I don't need much.
We talked before I came on. Look, we sold our house, and I remember talking to you guys when I had the tool belt on, doing my home improvement. Clueless. Well, we sold our house, and we're still trying to find a house, by the way. And I don't want to tell anyone where I'm living. I don't want to give it away, because then everyone want to move there, because it's apparently, because anything I say is the most popular place to go.
Of course.
Go be and live, the State Fair, and
they
and
all want to be by you.
Everything else, that's right.
Oh, they'll start bidding up the houses everywhere
exactly.
You want to go, man.
I can't afford that. No, but look, I was in charge of the storage unit. We got this massive giant storage unit. First of all, I said, we don't need one this big. And, you know, I've told you guys, I'm pretty tight when it comes to money. I was like, no, this is too expensive anyway. So, sure enough, we got this giant storage unit, boxes, and I was good, man. When we kicked off, and no one had seen it but me. My wife hadn't seen it, thank God, because she would have had me repack the whole thing. Boxes and boxes, straight Tetris in the back. And they just got sloppy. And, you know what, I'm going to post a photo on Twitter. I'm going to show you a photo of that storage unit. It is, if you blow a breath of air, that whole thing's coming over in front
it's
of you.
It's a house of cards.
It's bad. It is bad. Just a poor performance by me.
Are you, because like I said, I could take everything, including like, you know, like I have old shoulder pads. I have this trophy that I won that was, as Lefko put it, it's oddly specific. You know, and it's broken, and it's big, and I'm like, I just want to throw everything away, but I can't. My wife won't let me do it.
I'm the same way. My wife's got stuff from high school. I'm like, what do you have this for? Like, this is insane. Like, I am the same way. I could literally light a match and light that whole thing on fire. I could care
less. Wouldn't miss an item there.
Would not miss an item. My wife is completely different. I will say this. I'm kind of frustrated. I went to the Olympics in 2004, and best time ever. And that was the first time where I got, like, you know, all the kit, man. Like, I'm talking all the cool clothes, like Team Australia, huge bags of, like, cool Australian stuff with, like, you know, kangaroo, like this Nike, the dry fit stuff. I was like, oh, I'm going to keep this forever. I had a huge bag. And I think I was having an argument with my mom. She's probably listening back in Australia. She's like, you've got all this stuff here. What am I supposed to do with it? I said, oh, if it's too much for you, just throw it out. Boom, sure enough, gone. All my whole Olympic, I'm talking.
She took his literally.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, hey, Mom, where's all my Olympic stuff? I'd like to get it and check it out maybe, you know, like just, I don't know, whatever. Like
wear it around the
wear
house.
Wear the hat or something, yeah. And she goes, you told me to throw that out. I was like, are you serious? A full bag. And that's that I will say, that's the one time where I'm like, oh, I want to hold on to something. Everything else, I mean, you know, I need to have a garage sale and sell the stuff. I'll probably make $50 and
it'll help you buy that new house.
Exactly.
There's some guy that works at the dump down in Australia that's wearing Olympic gold medals and
some bogan. Exactly. Yeah.
I saw I think you tweeted out a picture or retweeted somebody who took a picture of a fan in the stands wearing a Roland Smith jersey.
Yeah, how about that?
And that was it in Arizona?
That was in Arizona, yeah. Someone sent me a photo. I obviously wasn't there, but someone sent a photo. I was like, oh, man, I feel
probably good. Came from your mom.
Probably was. I mean, she probably threw that stuff in the trash and got passed around and over here. But no, I couldn't believe it. Roland Smith jersey. I'm like, look at this.
Yeah.
This made me feel pretty good
now,
about
the person
myself.
Was alone, which they were friendless.
In
but,
the cheap
you know.
Seats, too, by the way. He was sitting in the bleachers as well. I was like, yeah, come on, dude. Let's
the
go.
Only thing, though, was next to him was a guy with a Brad Adam jersey. So that was kind of the letdown.
Yeah, they were being ironic, although they were trying to be funny, I guess, apparently. I need to pump that a little bit on the old social media. I feel pretty good about myself.
Before we let you get out of here, you're doing your Top Step podcast, and you had a buddy of yours on recently?
Yeah, so I've got the podcast cranking again. I had it up until the start of the season, and then just kind of got away because, you know, so much baseball happened, which was a good thing. But I kicked it back off, and Grant Balfour, 10-plus years in the big leagues, his nickname's Balfour Age. This guy was an absolute maniac on the mound. MLB All-Star, pitched for the Oakland A's.
Fellow Aussie.
Yeah. And but the one of my best friends, man, the coolest guy.
Know him before?
Yeah, I did. I looked up to him. Like, he was a little bit older than me, obviously played in the big leagues. He's had a stellar career in the big leagues. And I had him on the show, and everyone's like, hey, when's Balfour coming back on? They loved him. And that episode got more attention than having when I had Max Scherzer on my podcast.
Wow.
So I was like, man, I've got to have him back on. It's been so fun. The whole lead up, we just put our first episode out, just talking. We have everything from, we might actually have to name it the Bogan segment, but we have everything from, you know, the general chit chat to kick it off. And then we talk baseball. And it's funny, man. We never get serious when I talk to this guy. It's just a joke. Like, we just talk about a bunch of nonsense. I got to say, man, like, you forget how much this guy knows about baseball. Pitching a World Series, MLB All-Star, pitching the playoffs a bunch, you know, gotten in a bench clearance, the whole thing. He's got some amazing stories. He's done it all.
Nice.
Been through everything. And he knows everyone in the game. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I was blown away. He's prepared. He's got all these notes. He's talking about going through injuries, pitching in September when you're in a playoff race, everything else. But the best part of it is the Bogan segment at the end. We break down Australian words. Dave, you would love it. We explain what Australian words are. We talk about, you know, typical Aussie behavior. It's a blast, man. It's a lot of fun. So it's kicked back off, and you can if you go to my Twitter account @-18, you'll see the link and
good
you can
deal.
Check it out.
So can they go to like Apple Podcasts and everything
else? It's on Apple, Spotify. It's just, yeah, the Top Step.
Top Step. That's there it. You go. Ryan Roland Smith. Good to have you in person, man. Good to talk
it's
to you.
It's good
again.
To be here.
Thanks, Ryan.
There you go. You can catch him on Root Sports, doing a great job there as well. Coming up, who gets the right to face the Seahawks in the Super Bowl? We'll give you our picks on the AFC coming up. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Mariners taking on the Diamondbacks tonight in the T-Mobile Park. Roof will be... Boy, it looks like it's going to be closed. They have not messed with it since they closed it. I don't know what's going on. I can't tell if it's raining outside at all from where we're sitting, but...
What was the weather app you checked?
The AccuWeather, which means accurate weather.
I was going to say, what does Accu stand for?
Most accurate weather ever, and it still doesn't call for any rain, but this roof has been closed for the past couple of hours, and they have not messed with it. So I'm just going to go out on a limb, Dave, and say it's going to be closed. All right. How about that?
I would go with that.
That's the Mariners Roof Report, covered by Acton's Quality Roofing. Coming up in the next segment, Mean Text. So you guys still have some time to get creative. 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. You can send in your text there. We'll do that coming up in less than 15 minutes. But we went through the NFC, talked specifically about the NFC West. I don't think we determined who we thought was coming out of the NFC to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. we just went NFC West, and we both felt like it would be the Seahawks, followed by the 49ers, followed by the Rams and the Cardinals.
Right.
AFC, what are your feelings there? For me, it's hard to get Pat. And the Chiefs are slowly becoming the Patriots in that, not that they're going to win Super Bowls or be in the Super Bowl every year, but they just seem so loaded that until further notice, they're kind of the favorite. They're just picking against them would seem sort of silly as long as they're healthy, and that's the caveat for every team is health. And if they lose Mahomes, much like if the Seahawks lose Russell Wilson, the season's completely over.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I agree, because and I love Andy Reid, and I think he does such a great job. But I would say, you know, if you want a sleeper for me, Cleveland, I'll give kind of an honorable mention. I feel like the Miami Dolphins, I feel like they could be the sneaky team that wins the AFC East.
Are you buying into the I think you sort of answered my question. I was going to ask you if you were buying into the Buffalo hype. There's a lot of hype behind you. Hey, Stephon Diggs is there. Look at the year he had. Josh Allen is one of the up-and-coming superstars and signs this new deal, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I'm quite there on the Bills. I think they're a good team. Certainly they won, 13 games last year?
Yeah.
I mean, but are they going to be a year-in, year-out good team? Did it just everything fall in place last year? I still need more from them.
Well, and Brian Flores, I think, with Miami's a really good coach and turned them around. Now, that depends on Tua coming around and being the quarterback that they thought he was when they picked him.
I'm not a big Tua guy. I wasn't when he came out of college. I like him as an individual. I think he's a good quarterback. I just I never looked at him like, this is somebody who's going to be elite at the NFL level. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I just since they were talking about it, even before the hip injury, I was just like, I don't know. There was something I wasn't feeling about Tua.
Sure has a great work ethic, and you know, I think he's a great kid and good leader and all that stuff, but he just has to come into his own. But that would be kind of my surprise pick, I think, the Dolphins. The other one, you know, Kansas City, I mean, it's too bad that they're in this division. I think the Chargers are going to be good. Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert, what a fantastic year. He was so surprising to me. They had guys like Derwin James that were hurt. They got Bosa there, you know, who's a great pass rusher. I mean, they've got some really good weapons. I feel like it's too bad they're in the AFC West. I mean, if they were in the South or, you know, even the North, I mean, I think they could compete a little bit better just because Kansas City is so good. But you know, I would say my sleeper pick coming out of the AFC to appear in the Super Bowl would be the Chargers. And at that point, I will still be calling them the San Diego Chargers. And I don't care who gets angry by that. even if it's the owner.
Even if the owner gets mad?
If the owner gets mad.
You're that defiant?
Of the Chargers.
Oh, my goodness. What a rebel.
I will call them that in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. But, yeah, probably Kansas City. They've got a pretty good hold on that. And
Doesn't it feel like if they're healthy, picking against them seems like you're just trying to be the contrarian? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, there are teams that can make a case. I mean, I think Lefko's team, Tennessee, if they're healthy, that is a scary team. You bring in Julio Jones along. I mean, that receiving core, those two right there, that is a scary two-headed monster.
Well, and the other thing is Tannehill and how they turned him around there.
Yeah, and you got that just battering ram and Derrick Henry. It's just
and their defense is really physical, too. I mean, not a ton of superstars, but guys that will just hit you. I remember watching the playoff game last year where this guy was just so old school. Comes up, headbutts the tight end, presses him, jerks him to the ground, goes and makes a tackle for a one-yard loss. It was just the most the defensive end and just not a frontline player, but I'm like, that's how they play down there. So, you know, and I think they're coached that way. So Tennessee, that's week two. They could be a tough opponent for the Seahawks.
Lefko, are you picking Tennessee to come out of the AFC, or do you still feel like it's Kansas City? Where are you at with your boys?
I'm never optimistic about my boys. Kansas City is far and away, I think, the best team. Well, what about your NFC picks, though? You did not make an NFC pick to actually go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that.
That's a...
And Dave's died, so hang on.
Your mic died just in time for your prediction, and he was gonna come out of left field with one and say it was going to be the Detroit Lions. I'm going to speak for Dave. He was going to call for a Lions miracle trip to the Super Bowl, right?
Carolina Panthers. No, I think it's the Seahawks. I mean, who could be the sleeper? Well, Tampa Bay is not exactly a sleeper.
I don't think they're getting back. Yeah. I think they'll still be a good team. I mean, it's tough to repeat. It just doesn't happen that often. I think, you know, they are an older team. They brought everybody back. I get all of that. And if they can remain healthy through 17 games, they're going to be a handful for everybody. I just don't feel like they're going to get back to the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I don't, something about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers proving a point. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that could be a thing. I feel like Green Bay could be a thing this year.
Well, it's funny. During the offseason, we talk about other teams in general. Then you get closer to the matchup and you start seeing, oh, remember they have the, was it the Williams brothers, they call them, the two guys that come off the edge in Green Bay?
Yeah.
You know, they've got, you know, some good offensive linemen, some good weapons. I mean, you know, you forget about all of those little specifics, just like talking to the guy from Indianapolis. I mean, yeah, they've had a 1,000-yard rusher the last 2 years there and pretty close the years before that. And you got Jonathan Taylor, who was a rookie last year that ran over 1,000. You look at that offensive line, including Mark Glowinski, who used to be here. And so, yeah, all of a sudden it starts, you start filling in all of that and go, the NFL's difficult, man. It's just very well distributed as far as, like, there's no, teams don't stay down for very long.
Unless you're the Lions or the Jets or Jacksonville. Or
ownership.
Ownership. So who you call it? You're saying Seahawks get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I'll go ahead and make that wild prediction.
I desperately want you to be right and want me to be wrong on this one.
But Green Bay.
I'll call it Green Bay.
Yeah.
And watch us both be wrong. It'll be Tampa Bay back in there again.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. All right, coming up. You know what time it is. Mean text. You still have a few minutes. So 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line for whatever you've got on your mind. Text that in. We'll do it next. Live from T-Mobile Park, it's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Bob's lost his microphone. Now it's my turn. I'll start off 509. Dave, it's not a bold prediction when you choose the Seahawks to be in the Super Bowl every single year. When are you going to get it right?
Oh, we're just reading right into him. That's the mean text, though. Bob's mic cut off. So I got a fresh one.
What, do I have to identify that we're doing mean text? Isn't it obvious?
Yeah, that's true.
Here we go. This one's working. How about that? Yeah, somebody was already ripping us, saying now it's time for two guys who say they want mean text submissions yet won't read more than two or three.
I don't
get that
one.
As many as we can.
Yeah.
We try to get to as many as we can, especially if they're creative. A lot of that falls on you guys. You got to catch Lefko's eye.
Did somebody say Green Bay is a thing?
I did.
Huh?
Yeah, I said I felt like Green Bay's a thing this year. I feel like I couldn't identify specifically why I felt like they were going
to
be.
Well, I'm sorry, Bob. I wasn't listening to what you said once again.
Yeah, that's fine. You're like a lot of people out there in their car.
He said that's not top-notch commentary. He said it is top-notch commentary from a couple of geezers. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, geezers.
All right. Yeah, we'll get right into
this.
We got to read more than two mean texts.
Bob's not a geezer. He's of dating age, by the way. Okay, I just wanted to correct that.
That's
dating age.
Am I of dating age?
Yeah.
I can still date.
Yeah,
I'm still allowed. That's great.
Well, how about this? This does need to be a new segment, the 360. Please start a new traffic segment. It'd be the best thing about your show. Complaining about traffic.
That was on the heels of Dave talking about the zipper and people's inability to really function within the zipper method.
The merging lanes and also the roundabout, more importantly. Remember, it's not a stop sign at all.
Sometimes there'll be a yield sign there, though, right? I think.
I don't think so.
I don't see many of them. You don't see those really in West Seattle.
What does that mean, yield? Yeah. Yes, you shouldn't go if you might crash into somebody that's in there.
It's saying, basically, don't just charge in there regardless of the car that's coming around the circle.
But don't just stop, because it's not a stop sign.
Yeah.
At all.
All right. Lefko's going to read this mean text from the 503.
Oh.
Bob's aura is going to beat up Dave's aura the next time Dave goes into third person. Jen in Beaverton.
So Lefko went third person there.
Jen. Way to go, Lefko.
And he called himself by his last name.
No one knows if I said my first name. That could be a good question. What's my first name? No one for the listeners.
Yeah, we hardly
know. No one would even know that.
It's always just Lefko.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ramon.
Yeah, now, and I mean, all the texts that come in for mean texts for me are all my last name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they like that name. This is just crude. I'm not even going to read it. Okay, I will. Lucky for me, Dave's mic cut out just as I farted, so I won't miss a second of the show. I hope you're proud of yourself, 425.
I like this. Dave not listening to what Bob or the professor says. How's that different from any other day?
Somebody listening to way too much of our show.
I would say to those people, stop listening so much.
Well, you're not
supposed to do that, I think.
I like this one because they incorporated a segment into the mean text. The 206 said, instead of sweeping the dial at 4:45, why don't you sweep yourselves right off the air? That means they're listening closely, though.
They got the segment name.
They worked it in. They know what time.
4:45.
Thank you for listening, knowing that segment. Someone confused date night, but it's still kind of funny. When you talk to Clayton about his date night, the 253 says, well, wait, it's date night. Is that why Wyman isn't wearing free Seahawks clothing?
That's when you know it's date night. Yeah. Well, by the way, I'm wearing a free Mariner shirt right now.
How much of your wardrobe is free?
Yeah.
I doubt you're getting free jeans, but probably of your shirts.
I'm not getting...
How about just shirts and maybe shoes?
Well, the shirts... No, I'm not getting shoes anymore.
No?
No.
Okay, so just shirts.
The Seahawks will... And then they give out every... One year we got a bathrobe.
You have a Seahawks bathrobe?
When's the last time you wore a bathrobe, Bob?
I was probably...
I don't know.
Seven or
I
eight.
I don't know that I've ever owned a bathrobe.
Very nice of them. It's a very nice bathrobe.
Do you wear it?
My wife uses it. No. I don't use it. But yeah, I would
walking
say...
Walking around in a bathrobe.
What, smoking a pipe or something?
You
or
have one of those
my slippers.
Cigarette holders or something.
Yeah. That's right. That makes it like a foot
long.
Yeah,
it's 8 feet long. Sticking out of your mouth there.
Yeah, probably 40% of my wardrobe are Seahawks shirts. I've been doing it since 2004. I've got my first polo that the Seahawks gave me in 2004, and they give you one every year. So what am I going to do, throw them away?
253 says, Lefko, are you the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy? You sound exactly the same.
I don't feel like that's a compliment.
No. What's the Boom Goes the Dynamite?
Oh, you've never seen that?
That was made famous by that. He was a kid, essentially, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a college student filling in on a sportscast. And he does the worst sportscast of all time.
I remember that now.
So that's just insulting to me as a professional.
And he put nothing behind it. It wasn't Boom Goes the Dynamite. It was, and he hits the shot, and Boom Goes the Dynamite.
They have done so much with that kid. They followed up with him year after year.
Didn't you do college radio, though?
Yeah, that could have been me in college. But
this was like a guy
he was filling in on that segment. He got called in at the last moment. He was like a news guy, didn't know anything about sports. So it was very awkward and hilarious. We can watch it again sometime.
Didn't
but to be compared
famous?
To that guy, oh, that's insulting.
Didn't he become famous
yes,
for it,
he
though?
Did. He did.
509 says, we don't hear very many mean texts because Bob and Dave forget which segment they're in. Are we getting senile? We're geezers. Are we senile now?
Geezers, senile. Bob had his birthday.
Yes.
It's probably because of that.
My 84th birthday. Somebody's going to have to wheel us out of here.
Here's one that's going to make Dave mad, but for a different reason than you think. The 360. Wyman, how did the Pro Bowl look when you went, you know, from the stands?
Well, here's what makes me mad about that. Stole my joke. I always
said that you went.
I used to say
because
Dave Craig got me great tickets. I was like, "Yeah, I went to the Pro Bowl 1 year, had good tickets, and yeah, he stole my joke." It's corny.
Maybe it's just an homage. He's paying you tribute.
That's the closest I'll ever get.
What else you got there, Lefko?
Yesterday, when you and Paul kind of started arguing about football players today and yesterday and this era and. Yesteryear, the 509 said, Moyer's appearance turned into just two old guys yelling, back in my day, over and over.
So I would say, Paul, your day is my day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're from the same day.
Would people rather hear you and Paul arguing about back in the day or you and Clayton comparing high school success stories?
Oh, gosh. Well, I do it like as a joke.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's a big difference.
It's a big difference, Dave.
Well, we got about 30 seconds. Here's a good one to close on. 360. Dave sounds like an awkward third wheel in a relationship, trying to get any sort of word in at the end when they say goodbye to a guest.
Okay, bye.
That is a fine close. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Sean Doolittle, Matt Taylor, John Clayton, and Ryan Roland-Smith for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, you know what to do. Head to 710sports.com, click that podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. Everything you missed is waiting for you there. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.